Come on in. It's very nice to see you again.
Who is it?
That's Lucius Blackworth, and I am Zoe Valentine.
I didn't win any gifts, can't kick it.
Well, that's too goddamn bad, Lucius. You're gonna get some, because Girl Scout cookies are delicious.
I tried to sound like an old lady, being very, very cantankerous, but unfortunately, it kind of sounded more like Eric Cartman, so I apologize for that. And full disclaimer, we are a satirical podcast with all kinds of weird things, and anything we do is purely coincidental, even this PSA, which sounds incredibly like South Park's. I like South Park.
Yes, you do. Well.
That was my Evie Oddly laugh.
Oh, I like it.
Thanks.
I can get behind that. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Can see you've been practicing.
Yeah, look what else I learned from RuPaul's Drag Race. Oh,
nice.
Nailed that shit.
Pretty
right?
Good, yeah. You nailed the fuck out of that.
It was dirty.
Well.
I mean, it was mostly just a love tap. I mean, we got a little personal, I suppose.
Well, we are so happy to be back.
We disappeared for a long time.
Yeah, to us it was only a day. To everyone else it may or may not have been about a year.
Oh my god, it's roughly exactly been 1 year to
right.
The day.
In like quote-unquote real-time constructs, which we don't adhere to.
Yeah, linear timelines.
Right, of that.
Yeah, no. We have multidimensional, parallel, universal type of timelines, and unfortunately we had some things to do. And we needed a TARDIS to do it, and as we all know, the Doctor isn't great at coming back when he's supposed to, so one day was like a year, and it was good times, though, it was good times.
It was.
I always wanted to hang out with the Doctor.
Yeah.
So, just to let everybody know, I recently got Zoe to finally agree to watch Doctor Who with me, almost in its entirety. There are far too many episodes to get through it quickly, but I think at the end of the day, she's really grown, and it's really added a lot to her life and who she is as a person, because
Doctor Who has made me a better person.
Yeah, that's right, it has.
I really like it.
Yeah, it's a good show. So if you haven't watched Doctor Who before, you probably should. There's a lot of spooky stuff there if you want that hashtag spooky lifestyle that we will so much provide for you here on the Spookers Toast.
Hashtag spooky lifestyle?
Yeah, that's our new hashtag.
We don't do hashtags. We're too cool.
Well,
no.
Zoe is
we
way
may be
too
nerdy
cool for hashtags.
Doctor Who watchers, but no hashtags.
I'm hashtagging the Doctor on right. Instagram right as soon as this podcast is over.
Okay, you do that.
I will.
Nice.
So we've got a little bit of a new format for you, and we've revamped things a little bit, as you can probably tell by our intro theme song, which has not been conceived while this is being recorded, but we wanted to start with the meat, and then we will work on the potatoes later. Oh my god, I'm so hungry. I want meat and potatoes.
Well, you should go make some dinner.
No, I prefer to eat the sins of the flesh, thank you.
Okay.
Happy Halloween, by the way. It's
Happy
almost
Halloween!
Hooray.
I love Halloween. It's the best time of the year.
Yeah, it's like Christmas, except for cool people.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, because it's Halloween, we should get into the Halloween mood by telling a true story.
Yeah, we thought that we would introduce ourselves this Halloween with a little bit of news that could be considered quite spookers.
Also groundbreaking.
Is this news article groundbreaking? Is that a fair assessment?
All I'm going to say is it was put out by Yahoo, so it's got to be groundbreaking. All right,
folks. So this is from the Yahoo Insider, I believe, as it's quoted here, as is all things. Yahoo's obviously the most credible source that you can find on the internet today, which is why we're going to bring you this fantastic little story. So after moving from their home in Jefferson City, Montana, it was Montana,
Missouri.
Right? Missouri. M-O is Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
What's Montana? M-T?
I don't know. Probs.
Okay, so
we're not
Jefferson
American.
City in Missouri. And yeah, they moved from there because they were convinced at some point that there were hundreds of spirits living in their house, and the house was just haunted as fuck, and all this crazy shit happened to this poor little couple, and from what I understand, a little baby girl. So in October 2017, these folks, Aaron and Aaron, Who does that? Who is so fucking conceited that they get together with somebody with the same name as them? It's like,
that's cute.
Aaron, I love you. I love you too.
Oh,
Aaron.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, they're basically just talk, like, anyways. So
kind of conceited.
These people are conceited as fuck. And they bought the 5,000 square foot house. That's a lot of square footage for, you know, just a couple of Aarons. Oh, if they had a boy, would they be called Aaron Boys?
What's that?
What, Aaron Boys?
Yeah.
They run around and get you stuff.
Oh, errand.
Well,
I heard Aaron Boys.
Yeah.
Oh, is that your pun?
I was making a pun with their names, you see.
I like it. Good job.
Thank you. I am quite funny.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, so this house was called Hobo Hill, and it was named because of the masses of homeless people that historically occupied the land. I'm reading this verbatim, by the way.
Yeah,
just
it's
so
rude
know.
Saying Hobo Hill.
A few months ago, after moving in, they claim there were strange occurrences, displaced noises, footsteps, and shadowy figures.
Ooh.
Every night at 11:15 p.m., I heard the same sound in the attic. Aaron tells Yahoo Lifestyle. It was as though someone dropped a heavy box on the floor and was dragging it just straight down there. The couple's daughter, then 7, also began sleepwalking. Yeah, she shuffled and, you know, walked a little bit with a tilted head, and she spoke in tongues, man. I'm telling you, fucking tongues, the stuff of horror movies, says Aaron. One night, I found her sobbing at her bedroom window. Then that little she-devil turns around with the creepiest, wildest smile like she was possessed. And that's when Aaron knew that something had to be done. The energy in the house was aggressive, says Aaron, a former police officer, even scaring the family's pit bull, who refused to approach the stairs.
Aww.
Every time I was in the basement, I felt like someone was jumping on my back, he says. And people who visited the attic, they felt a touch on their shoulder. Add sound effects that aren't me making noises with my mouth here, production guy. All right, yeah, that's right. We got somebody that produces all of our shit for us, and he is an absolute magician, but shall not be named at all.
He's a legend.
Their most profound evidence of the haunting, the couple kept seeing a man wearing a suit and a top hat near the stairway. We saw him just out of the corner of our eye, and then he would vanish. Probably because when you look straight at it, there was no one there, Aaron, and you guys are high. Oh, sorry. They were desperate to cleanse their home. They consulted a priest for holy water, and they hired paranormal investigators who claimed hundreds of spirits lived in their basement. After 7 months, we had enough, Aaron tells Yahoo Lifestyle. To prevent another family from experiencing the same disturbances, the couple now rents the property on a bunch of websites that we shall not name because they're not going to give us money. And they have turned the place that they wanted to spare people. So, okay, hold on. News guy, go away for a second. So what these people did was to prevent another family from experiencing this. So to prevent people from experiencing this, they decided to put it up for rent on a site that was like Water CNC. Yeah, that's right. I'm not mentioning your shit. Give me some money.
That's
Airbnb.
Right.
Airbnb. Give me some of that fucking Uber money. I know you got a guy with a fucking shirt on that's all Western style being like, I invested money into Uber. Now give me some of some stuff because that worked for Google.
Fuck yeah, Shark Tank.
Anyway, so this place is called Hobo House. Obviously, if you search long and hard enough that you can get out there and maybe even rent this place. But apparently people have seen spirits and people have looked at this place up and down. And some people didn't even stay there. They were so scared. They checked out right at fucking midnight and they were gone like a fart in a windstorm. This property was also featured in an episode of some other channel's things that we're not going to mention. All right, let me wrap this up for you. Now, the family has found peace in their new home, finally, so they're not getting haunted anymore in their new home.
Oh, thank God.
They rarely visit, apparently except for Aaron's mother, but not Aaron, the husband, Double A Ron. But
yeah.
This is E. Rin. Double A Ron, he doesn't come there at all, but E. Rin's mother is now the caretaker. So what they've done is they have ran away, made it for rent, and made their poor elderly mother take care of their haunted house so they can make money off it.
That's kind of fucking rude.
Yep. My daughter calls it the scary house, says Aaron.
Ooh.
So that's your national dose of international ghost news, brought to you in part by me, Lucius Blackworth, and Zoe Valentine Blackworth.
Hey. Well, that was a fantastic job.
We didn't even tell people what our episode was going to be about.
What if I were to tell you that there was a creature in existence that had such intelligence that it actually had self-awareness? This is a creature who plays, can solve puzzles, changes its dialect. What would you think that would be?
If I had to guess, I would probably say that it would be a narwhal.
Incorrect.
Manatee?
Nope. Try again.
Lawn gnome.
Oh, they're black and they have feathers.
Velociraptor.
Wrong. I'm talking about crows.
Oh, those nice little guys that follow us around?
Yeah, those lovely little winged creatures who everyone thinks are spooky, and they are, but in a good way. Some of my favorite creatures in the world are crows.
Favorite?
Yeah, I love them.
I thought ravens were your favorite.
I also love ravens.
So what's the difference between a raven and a crow?
Well, a raven's much bigger, for one. That's how you can tell the difference. They both are of the same genus, which is the corvid family. Yeah, they're both these like spooky black birds who hang out in graveyards and get a bad rap, but they're actually super awesome.
Yeah, you do seem to see a disproportional amount of crows at graveyards as opposed to other kinds of birds. Why is that?
Crows feed on human flesh.
Why?
Because they are omnivorous and they're scavengers. And they'll basically eat, like, almost anything.
And I bet it has something to do with the fact that humans are, in fact, delicious. If I've learned anything from Hannibal the Cannibal, it's that people kind of taste good sometimes.
Yes, they do.
Yeah,
so crows, because of all this creepy shit that they do, like eating dead bodies, hanging out in graveyards, they would do things like during wars, they would follow soldiers to the battlefields. So they could wait for the fallen bodies. They would hang around during plagues and shit in England, just like waiting for their food. So people don't really like crows.
Yeah, I could see that if you're like, you know, if death is coming and stalking you in some way, shape, or form, all of a sudden there's this giant murder of crows following you.
Yeah, and they've been associated because of that with death.
The spookiness and the underworld and the
Satan.
Paranormal.
Yeah.
Devil.
Yeah. Crows actually have a lot of significance in different ways in different cultures. Like, not everyone thinks that crows are just, you know, bringers of death.
Yeah, there's some of us who love the crows and talk to them and, you know, have really good crow families and crow minions.
Yeah.
Some of us, you know, go out of our ways to make the little beggars happy.
That's right. And crows will remember you. So if you're nice to a crow and you respect it, it will be nice back and it'll remember you. And if you are not, well, they're going to hold a grudge and they're going to remember that.
Case in point, I moved out to this fancy little place out in the middle of nowhere. And it might be referred to by some as Nowheresville. Mm-hmm. But this little place has a whole bunch of crows and ravens and little folks that are in the corvid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Corvid family. And as a proponent of somebody who likes wildlife, I tend to sometimes feed birds because life is hard for a bird, you know, especially in places where it gets colder throughout the winter. They don't have as many places for food sources and other things. So I tend to feed them. I also feed crows for the simple reason that I wanted to see if crows were slightly cannibalistic and would eat chimkins. And if you're not hip with the jive, chimkins is the most fascinating thing ever. It's chicken, but in the perspective of a puffers. So just keep that inside there. But they know me as Chimkins Man, and they follow me around. When I walk out of the grocery store, they recognize who I am and start landing on my car. And like the other day, they were flying beside us after we threw out some sunflower seeds to them and some fries and stuff like that. And they just want to be friends, and I want to have crow best friends.
That's right. And now we know you're not supposed to feed wildlife, but they're completely omnivorous. There are some studies done where like a crow would rather eat a fry out of a McDonald's bag than out of a normal brown paper bag.
Why?
It just prefers it.
Because it like recognizes the McDonald's bag and is like, oh,
it's more delicious.
That's where the dope fries are.
Yeah. They're so smart. That's our experience with crows. We love them. We think they're dope. So, Lucius, there are actually a lot of cultures that view crows very positively. They can be seen as liaisons in between worlds, the world of the living and the world of the dead.
Oh.
They can represent like carrying messages in between worlds or escorting the dead from one world to another.
So they're kind of like half in, half out of this world and the one that lies in the next realm.
Yeah, kind of like that movie, The Crow.
Oh, one of the best movies of all time.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
If you've never seen The Crow, do yourself a favor. Go out and rent it, torrent it, pirate it. I don't advocate pirating, but my youth has taught me that pirates are cool. So is Johnny Depp. So if you need to, do what you got to do. Again, not endorsing anything, but The Crow is an amazing movie. It's one of my all-time favorites, and it's a must watch for Halloween. So if you have a Halloween movie list, put The Crow right at the top there. So in this movie, The Crow, spoiler alert, I'm going to spoil everything for you. So if you are going to go watch it, pause here and go watch The Crow.
And then come back. We'll be here waiting for you.
Yeah. Go watch it, then come back.
Or rewatch it if you've already seen it.
Yeah, it's a really good movie. Watch it every single year. So the premise of this movie is that something really, really bad happens to this guy who happens to be played by the late, great Brandon Lee. If you don't know who that is Bruce Lee's, that super awesome martial artist guy, icon from back in the day. That was his son. Unfortunately, he died at, I believe, 28 years old, working on the set of The Crow. When one of the guns that was firing blanks, a piece of the plastic on the end of the gun actually came out and projectile just like a bullet would pretty much and lodged like right in his chest. And after like 6 hours of surgery, unfortunately couldn't be saved, but he does die in that movie. But the premise of the movie is that somebody dies in it, so it's already super spooky. The movie itself is haunted. It's basically The Ring. But something really bad happened to him, and he has to come back basically a year later as a zombie-ish superhero type guy.
Mm-hmm.
And his whole connection to the real world and his dead world is this crow, which is really fucking big. And I might just throw this out there. The crow in that movie might be a raven.
It might be a raven. Yeah. We're not saying that they got the title wrong or anything, but that's a little big to be a crow.
Yeah, but, you know.
But in a lot of cultures, and like crows and ravens are somewhat interchangeable within stories and like folklore and stuff like that.
Yeah, and they do look very similar from a distance. Again, they got a couple things that you can tell by. I even heard from a guy that knows a guy that knows a guy that knows a guy that crows have more of a square tail, where the ravens actually have more of a wedge-shaped tail.
Mm.
So when you see them fly and see them all up in the air and you can't really tell, if you look at their tail, apparently it's a pretty clear indicator.
That's awesome. They also have completely different calls, like different language.
That's something that's really neat about crows, too, is if you go to different places, they might, you know, have crows just like any other place, but they seem to be speaking a different language.
Yeah.
One place I lived, there were crows that were like, wah, 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 wah. Kind of sounded like an ambulance because there was lots of ambulances and sirens. And then out here, all the little crows kind of sound like the predators and like, wah.
That's right. And they can like click. Crows can make so many different sounds. And they use their language either for territorial warnings. So like if someone's coming too close to their nest or another crow that's like not in their flock is coming too close to their nest. They also use their language for location signaling, so to let their friends know where they are.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And another cool thing about crows is they can change their speech patterns to fit into a new group. So if a crow goes into a new flock, it will like listen to like the leader of the flock and alter its like language patterns to imitate it, so it can fit in better, which is really smart.
So if it like changes, you know, and it's got like new homies and it walks up and everyone's got this like weird slang, it can eventually adapt to that in order to, you know, hang out with the crows and everyone not think that he's weird because he talks different.
Totally.
Poor crows.
Yeah, but they're so smart. They're like the smartest birds out there.
Yeah, they are. I've watched them interact with eagles and other big predatorial birds. And even though eagles are big and massive and, you know, the super scary predator, they're not the most bright birds. And crows will actually go behind them and, like, grab food that the eagles couldn't open, whether it be, like, shellfish or nuts or something like that. And they'll go figure out a way to break it open, whereas this big scary eagle couldn't do it.
That's right. And one of the reasons for that is crows have one of the biggest brain-to-body ratios, which you wouldn't like. You always think birds have really small brains, but a crow has a similar brain-to-body ratio as some really great apes.
Interesting.
And are said to be on the same intelligence level. And they've got a super high density of neurons in their forebrains, which is connected to cognitive reasoning, which is why they are able to, like, pass self-awareness mirror tests or solve these crazy elaborate puzzles, because they are just like smart and do have a big brain.
Pretty
compared
fancy.
Compared to their body size. Yeah, I think it's really cool.
Yeah, and if you go by the theory that some folks do, and you know, buy into the whole like dinosaurs turned into birds thing, this would make a little bit of sense as far as evolution goes, where you've got something that used to be really big that had a small brain, and eventually over the time of evolution, the body to brain ratio got more economical, so to speak, for that actual being, and allowed them to have such things like the cognitive reasoning and be able to wander around. Yeah, I said it, whatever. Birds are dinosaurs.
Birds are dinosaurs.
I'm gonna bring it up at some point.
Hell yeah.
Yep.
Didn't you say crows are raptors the other day?
Yeah, crows in fact are velociraptors. I can't prove that or back that up with anything, but I'm just going by what I heard some kids say in Jurassic Park, and I believe him.
As you should.
Yeah. He went on an electric fence and he got blown off, but that wasn't his fault. He was just dumb.
That's right. That wasn't his fault at all.
Nah.
Nah.
Just like it's not Jeff Goldblum's fault that that T-Rex chased him down.
Nope, not his fault at all. Nothing is Jeff Goldblum's fault. It's Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah. Yeah, and well, that's, you know, chaos theory. That was my impression of Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, nice.
It was pretty bad. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Hopefully our producer will cut that out. Do we have a producer?
Yeah, but he's invisible.
Oh, he did. Dead producer.
Damn.
Oh, well, fuck that guy.
So crows have some very interesting social behaviors as well. They actually play. Like young crows will play follow the leader type games. And they've also, and this is really cute, they've been known to slide down smooth surfaces.
Like, really?
Yes.
Little crows going down, just hanging out, being like, I want to go down a slide.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's right. It's so cute.
Yeah, it's adorable.
And crows are very, like, very social. So sometimes the older crow siblings will help their parents protect their nests, gather food. And there's a study that found that 80% of crow nests surveyed had a helping hand.
Really?
So crows generally will work as a unit, especially within their families. Crows also, and this is more of a common fact, they hold funerals. And one dead crow can attract a bunch of crows. They'll come and like flock around it and gather, but they tend to not scavenge the deceased crow.
Yeah, and when the crows see a dead crow, generally, like even if it's not like a part of their, you know, initial main group or whatever you call their main murder, I assume everyone hangs out in different murder name towns, but when they see it, they'll generally do like a quick call or some type of call to kind of bring in the masses, the same thing that they do when they are protecting an area or trying to rally the troops, so to speak. And it's called a mob. So basically they make a call, the mob will come together and kind of pay their respects to the dead crow. And interestingly enough, when it comes to dead crows, I found out, I heard on the by and by, that crows also got some weird fetishy type of stuff when it comes to dead crows as well. In the spirit of Halloween, it would not be a Spooky Toast episode on Halloween if we didn't discuss something a bit uncomfortable, so to speak.
Let's have it.
Throughout my research, I found all kinds of cool things about crows and faces and recognizing things and being self-aware. And then there was this one part that really started to make me a bit nauseous, I suppose, but it's also kind of like really, really funny. When crows see another dead crow when they are in their mating season, they tend to let their hormones take over because they're not really sure what they should do. And so they have this kind of fight or flight instinct that kind of kicks in and kind of triggers, and their hormones just kind of take over. And several scenarios have been known to happen to the deceased crow. One, the crow walks up and starts flirting with the other crow, starts, you know, ruffling its hackles and being like, hey.
With the dead crow.
Yeah, with the dead crow and being like, how you doing? And then there's other crows that will like show up, and the crows will be like a pair, because I think crows mate and stay together for some little bit of time together when they do the mating thing. So when they see a dead crow, they're like, oh man, this dead crow over here, you know, this is really like, this is really turning me on. So then they start doing it.
Oh my God.
They start making crow babies.
Crows are weird.
Yeah. And the weirdest one that I heard about was two crows coming up and basically making a crow menage a trois sandwich. And the crows decided to have a threesome. And it was like, you know what? We're just going to bring this dead crow in here. We're going to give him the time of his life. Oh my God. Death just makes me want to stick it in you, Mrs. Crow.
Wow, you just went there.
So that's what I learned about crows.
I see. And I see you've been busy with your research.
Grieving and funeral process. Yeah, the research has been hard.
I bet it has. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, on to a more wholesome subject.
Are we going
to
talk about bananas or bananas?
In 2011, a team from the University of Washington published a study about the brain power of local crows. The researchers' goal was to figure out how well the birds could identify human faces. So, in the name of science, they went out and bought two Halloween masks. One resembled a caveman, and the other one looked like Dick Cheney. It was decided that the caveman getup would be used to threaten the birds, while the Cheney mask was relegated to control status.
That's actually, like, super funny and ironic that the Dick Cheney mask was the one that was supposed to be the control status, and, Yeah.
That is funny and ironic.
Yeah. I think that guy got in the news one time. I don't know. I'm a Canadian, so I don't really know too much about American politics, but I'm pretty sure he was right-hand man to the devil, and he shot somebody while he was hunting, like in a bright orange vest, and was like, oh, it's just a hunting accident. It's like, no, you evil fuck. You shot somebody in the woods.
That's so I think scary.
So. I think so. Don't quote me on that because I'm not entirely sure, but I do think so. So at these five sites, a scientist donned the caveman mask before catching and banding some wild crows. Getting trapped is never a fun experience, and upon their release, the ex-captives loudly scolded their assailant with a threatening caw, 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 caw. Seeing this, the other birds who had been sitting nearby joined in on the fray, swooping down to harass the Neanderthalic visitor.
You got it.
Yeah, thank you. Over a period of the next several years, both masks were regularly worn by team members on strolls through all five test spots, and without fail, the caveman mask was greeted by angry scolds and dive bomb attacks from the crows every time, including many who had never been captured or banded, while the birds largely ignored the Dick Cheney mask.
Yep, they're telling their friends about you.
It's pretty neat.
Amazingly, the caveman disguise continued to provoke a hostile response 5 years into the experiment, even though the team had stopped trapping crows after those first few site visits. And some of the birds who antagonized the mask wearers weren't even alive back when the whole thing started.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
They're like passing it through generations, like hold a grudge against this person.
I mean, even crows got to have a blood feud from time to time, you know?
The younger crows couldn't possibly have seen the imitation caveman grab an acquaintance of theirs, but they scolded it anyway. So clearly they keep passing on the grudge for years and years. So if that teaches you anything, it should teach you to be nice to crows and respect them, even though they're spooky.
Yeah, because they will follow you around, hunt you down, and peck out the eyes of your children.
Or just like politely scold you and caw in your face.
Yeah. Well, the thing is though about a crow, if a crow is hungry and it sees you suffering and you're not even dead yet, and it's hungry, it'll peck out your eyes while you're still alive because it's more effort and energy to waste to go through skin and peck away at your flesh when it has nice soft flesh right inside your head. And it, crows have been known to peck out the eyes of not only people who upset them, but just people who happen to be dying.
Wow, such clever little birds.
Yeah. I hope if there is a zombie apocalypse that crows do not get turned. I would be very, very scared of many things.
I agree. Zombie crows would be too much. People zombies, yes. Crow zombies, no.
Yeah, because those motherfuckers can fly and they would be flying over, pecking on my face, and then I'm going to have to go be a zombie somewhere else and bite some people. It wouldn't be so bad, though, I don't think.
No, it wouldn't be so bad at all.
I've probably mentioned this in like every single episode, is that I'd be a zombie and you'd be a zombie and we'd all be zombies and we'd be fighting for the right team at the end of the day, because if you look at the teams that are out there right now that aren't zombies, really not worth following.
We got to do a zombie episode next.
Yeah.
Or sometime.
Yeah.
Because we're both huge zombie fans.
Even to the point of like meticulously and sometimes begrudgingly watching through all of The Walking Dead and Fear of the Walking Dead series.
Yes, indeed. We have a lot to say on that subject.
Yeah, and we might even save that for a full podcast episode. But what I can tell you right now is that I'm glad Coral is dead.
So?
What do crows wear on Halloween?
What do they wear?
Costumes!
Oh, that was so funny.
Oh my god, fuck, I am hilarious.
You're funny. Hilarious.
So in the spirit of Halloween and everything spooky and magical and dark and dismal and nightmarish, we have decided to graciously watch a bunch of really awful horror type things and tell you about them. And one of the first things we want to tell you about right now is on Amazon Prime. If you don't have Amazon Prime Video, it comes with a Prime membership. You probably order stuff from Jeff Bezos all the time. He's great. Big thumbs up to Jeff Bezos for saving the Rosinante. Thank you very much. What the hell was I even talking about?
You were talking about this show we've been watching.
Prime Video and the show we were watching.
Creepshow.
Oh yeah, Creepshow. So if you've ever seen like Tales from the Crypt Keeper, Creepshow is kind of the same thing. It was this comic that was out in the 80s, 70s, I do believe. Basically tales of terror and horror and mystifying weird shit, including monkey paws and demons and little aliens and all kinds of really cool stuff. And they had it as a comic book, and then it was a show back in the 80s with really bad animatronics, and Amazon has brought it back for Halloween just for you. And we watched it, and we thought it was pretty great, didn't we?
Yeah, I really liked it. It reminded me of Black Mirror, but like cheesy Halloween-y like monsters, like but in a good way. Like the campiness really like gives you that Halloween like atmosphere.
Yeah.
But it also has, it's kind of, there's, what are they, 20 minutes, two episodes per?
Yeah, I think they're like 20, 25 minutes per episode, and there's like two episodes per 45-minute episode.
Yeah.
So basically the two episodes.
Stories.
Yeah, come out at once, which is really nice. It breaks up the mundaneness. I will say, like, Black Mirror is super spooky sometimes, but sometimes their stories, because it's a full episode, just drag on, and they're trying to give you some like M. Night Shyamalan twist at the end, and it's like, this isn't The Village.
No. So this one's cool if you like kind of Black Mirror campy Halloween style, that you can just watch a couple episodes, get that spooky feeling, and we recommend it.
Yeah, and they've had new episodes all October, and the next one's coming out on Halloween, I do believe, so I'm hoping for a bunch of cool stuff, because that's today. Maybe it's tomorrow. Maybe it's yesterday. Again.
Every day is Halloween when you're with us.
Yeah, every day is Halloween Town. And on top of that, as we mentioned before, at the beginning of this disclaimer episode, we do not live on a linear timeline. And unfortunately, you're just going to have to deal with that. We don't know what fucking day it is. I don't even know if it's fucking Wednesday or Saturday, man. I am a fucking cripple that was beaten up by Jesus and left to die in the middle of the road. And you know what? I'm dealing with it okay. But if I got to say something, it's make sure you drink your milk, because that's the only way you can get the proper calcium in order to have good bones.
Hell yeah.
So that's our amazing comeback special on Crows. We want to thank you for sticking around, having a good time, and listening to us. We will be back. If you are so nice and would maybe want to, you can go on to Apple Podcasts, maybe give us a review. If they're still doing that, I'm not sure since Apple has flipped over if the reviews are still even there. Have you looked?
I think they still have reviews. Okay,
cool.
I don't know.
If you can, go do that. Review us, give us like a billion stars, or give us one star if you hate us. We're fine with that. Haterade, everybody drinks it. We're willing to have some too. And you can find us on all the other social things. It's Spooky Toast on Twitter, mm-hmm. and then Spooky Toast Podcast on Instagram, and SpookyToastPodcast@gmail.com if you want to shoot us an email. And you can find me, Lucius Blackworth, L_Blackworth on Twitter, and Lucius_Blackworth on Instagram.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Thank you so much, and have a happy Halloween!
Happy Halloween!